Good morning. I would like to welcome you all to church this morning to this incredible celebration, this baptism service that we are celebrating today. If you are new here, and we have lots of visitors, thank you for coming. Thank you for being with us and your loved one to be able to encourage them and support them and just to hear and see what Jesus has done in their lives and the transformation that he's had. So thank you, and church family, thank you for coming and supporting these amazing young people who are taking this step of obedience in baptism. We need our encouragement from our local church body as well. So thank you for coming online. Thank you for joining us. Mrs. Weeb, thank you for joining us so faithfully every week. And there's others as well. So we appreciate you being here, and we trust that God is going to be honored and glorified this morning. It's a very exciting time for us as a church family. I just want to mention a couple of things in regard to the church bulletin. First and foremost, we have had some technical issues with our email at the church, so we have changed the bulletin email. So if you would like to receive a copy of our bulletin weekly, please email the email address inside the bulletin, missionchapel.bulletin@gmail.com, so that you can receive the bulletin once again. We would really like you to be able to do that, because all we have to do then is point, add, and click, and we won't make 100 mistakes and get your email address wrong. So if you could do that, it would help us out. So if you're wondering why you haven't gotten it for a few weeks, that's why. A few glitches that have happened. So if you want that, or if that's not an option for you, see one of the pastors after the service and we can figure it out. The other thing I'd like to draw your attention to is, again, VBS is happening. We do need workers. We need volunteers. So if you are able to help, there's a sign-up sheet on the back bulletin board by the Information Center. So if you are able to help out and you feel God is directing you in that way, then please do. If you are visiting here and you have children, you would like to send them to VBS, then register them with that QR code that is in the bulletin. Other than that, I think I'm going to... The only other thing that I do need to mention is that the only children's ministry that is happening this morning is for children ages 3 to 5, the childcare that meets downstairs. So, the children's church that meets downstairs, ages 3 to 5, and at 11:30... The service is not typical. The format is not the same as usual. So typically when you leave, that will not be the same. So at 11:30, just take your children downstairs, and that will happen as per usual. Child care and junior church are not happening this morning. Now, just make sure that... Naomi's sitting right here, and she's a dear friend, and she's making me nervous, and I'm sweating already, so... as believers, we're supposed to carry one another's burden, and so as she's nervous to come and share this morning, I'm carrying your burden for you, so I'll sweat enough for both of us, so we're good. But let's commit this time to the Lord this morning. Oh, Father God, what a privilege to come into your house and worship you. Oh, Father, you have done so many great things, and today we get to hear testimony of that through seven people who are being baptized and one young man who is going to take up church membership as well with the baptismal candidates. So, Father, we trust that you will be honored and glorified. But as the testimonies are being shared, Father, I pray that it will just penetrate our hearts and that we will recognize your goodness and our need of you as a Savior for those who maybe don't know Jesus personally. For those of us who know Jesus, that, Father, this would be a time of reflecting worship as we again just remember what our baptism is all about and what it means to us. Oh, Father, we thank you for this time together. And Lord, may you be honored and glorified. May your name be lifted high. Pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So today we've come together and we're here to celebrate the transformation, the life transformation that has taken place in the lives of eight followers of Jesus, but Ben is already baptized, and so he's going to take up membership, but he's also going to share his testimony. But the other seven are taking this incredible step of obedience to God, and because of the transformation that has taken place in their lives. And it's exciting because we see them take this step of obedience as they do honor God and follow what he has commanded us to do. I like what Luke 15:1 to 10 says. And it says this. It says this about the celebration of what we're here for. It's a little bit different, but we no less are going to celebrate as well. It says this, Luke 15:1 to 10. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes and began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them, Jesus told them this parable, saying, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing." Do you see what's happening here? This is Jesus is the compassionate one, and he's going out to find the sheep. It's not that we come to him as followers of Jesus, but that is he goes out to find us. And once he finds us as sinners, he comes to us and he's comforting and compassionate, and he rests us on our shoulders when we come by repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. But I love the fact that there's rejoicing, and that's what is happening in each one of these persons' lives and have received Jesus and are a follower of Jesus. There's rejoicing and celebration. And so as we hear their testimonies, this is what we're doing as we're rejoicing. Yes, this is not the moment of their salvation. Baptism doesn't mean that now they are saved, but they're already saved, and so they're taking this step of obedience. And then verse 6 says, "And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice!'" Today, friends and neighbors, family, of church family, we're here together and we're rejoicing with them because Jesus says, "For I have found my lost sheep." Verse 7, "I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost.' In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Again, this is celebration. This is speaking of the joy of salvation. And that's really what we're here to do. We're celebrating that as well. But maybe you're here today and you don't really know what baptism is. Maybe you're not sure what it's about. Quite simply, baptism is the appropriate response to the good news of Jesus Christ. Baptism is a declaration of the transformation that has taken place, the transformation that Jesus has made through his blood, his shed blood, his death, burial, and resurrection. And when we come by repentance and faith, recognizing our sinfulness, our need for Jesus, that is where the transformation takes place. Baptism is obedience to the command given by Jesus and applies to everyone who comes to Jesus by repentance and faith. It's not optional. If you're a follower of Jesus, baptism isn't optional. It's actually commanded. So if you're not baptized, you're walking in disobedience. That's what the Bible says. That's not what I say it because it's what the Bible says. Matthew 28:19 says this, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So there's a progression that happens. You repent and then you are baptized. You become a disciple of Jesus and you are baptized. And in the book of Acts, Peter, he's preaching this message of salvation that Jesus made available through his death and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins. And in Acts 2:37-38, it says, "Now when the people heard this," so Peter's preaching a sermon of what Jesus has done, the fact that he has come to die for sinners, he says, it says this, "Now when the people heard this," when they heard the message of the gospel of Jesus, "they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized.'" When you hear the gospel message and it touches you and it reaches you and you're pierced to the heart, we call it in the community of faith, we call it conviction. But when you feel that, it's what does Peter say? Repent and be baptized. That's the natural progression. And Christian baptism illustrates in dramatic style the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It illustrates our death to sin. That's why we call it a transformation. It illustrates our death to sin and new life in Christ. And as the sinner confesses the Lord Jesus, he dies to sin, Romans 6:11. And he is raised to a newness of life, Colossians 2, verse 12. And so being submerged in the water, when we baptize somebody, we completely submerge them because it represents a death to sin. This is only symbolic, symbolizing this transformation that has taken place, that when we go under, we are dead to sin, and we come up, we are raised to a newness of life, being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 6, 4-7 puts it this way. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, then certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Now that doesn't mean that we don't sin. It just means we're no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer under bondage to the rule of sin. So consider that Jesus, as he went into the grave, he descended into the grave and rose again. Consider this, that in baptism, you go down into the water where you die to self. And when you are raised up, then you're raised up in newness of life. That's kind of baptism in a nutshell. And today, we want to focus on and just acknowledge the goodness of what God has done in the lives of people whose lives have been transformed by Jesus. And so we want to start today, Pastor Simon, I'll get you to come up right away as well. And we want to start today and just hear the testimonies of these people who are being baptized, and then we will baptize them. So today, we have an incredible young lady and her son who are going to be baptized. And I'm so excited about all the people that are baptized. And this is a cool experience when a mom and her son is able to be baptized together. So Naomi and Coulter, why don't you come on up and share your God's story of what God has done in your life, and then we'll baptize you guys.
Hi, my name's Naomi McSween. I grew up in a home with two Christian parents and two older brothers. From as early as I can remember, I read Bible stories, said my bedtime prayers, and could recite the Lord's Prayer. I believed in God and was always told that I was a child of God. I also understood that I was a sinner. I often buried my head in my pillow late at night, asking for forgiveness in fear that if I died, I would not go to heaven. I accepted Christ and received the Holy Spirit at a young age with the guidance of my dad. A young man known to our family had died unexpectedly. I remember the sadness I felt and the uncertainty of life after death. My dad answered all my questions, explained salvation, Jesus, and how he died for us and rose from the dead to give us eternal life in heaven with him. He prayed with me that night, and that night I confessed that I was a sinner and I asked Jesus into my heart. From that day forward, I've always known that I was not alone, but the presence of God, his living water is within me, and my salvation is secure. Romans 10, verses 9 to 10, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. I went through most of my life searching for purpose and meaning in sports and in friendships, the instant gratification of my next purchase, and how I would be perceived by my peers. I always had a desire for the Lord, but was consistently living for acceptance of the world. Over the past few years, I found myself in spiritual loneliness, longing for a relationship with Jesus, and to break free of spiritual bondage. The life I was pursuing, not living a life to glorify God, I was consistently feeling let down. I started attending Osler Mission Chapel with my son, to be in community with other believers. Seeking answers through prayer and Sunday's sermon, God has been drawing me closer to him. I've since begun to find comfort in prayer, knowledge in his word, and joy in my spiritual walk of faith with him. I am confident as this new season in my life takes shape. I am not afraid. I embrace life's challenges, and I'm excited to see what the future holds according to his will. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." I believe and I testify that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he took on human flesh and lived a perfect life and rose again on the third day. Lived a perfect life of obedience to his Father's holy will, that he died on the cross in my place, paying the full penalty for my sin, and that he rose again on the third day, securing my life in him. I'm choosing today to get baptized, to walk in obedience of faith, and to give testimony to habitual fellowship with God. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Coulter McSweed. I am 9 years old, and I am a child of God. I'm growing up in a Christian home with my mom. I have attended Sunday school since I was 2. I always liked the Bible stories, but I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. It was only when I went to OMC VBS that I asked my mom if we could start attending church here. About a year later, I understood that there is only life in Jesus Christ. John 4, verse 6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So I asked Jesus into my heart. I want to get baptized because I feel that the Lord is calling me to. I believe Jesus as my Lord and Savior, that he died on the cross and rose on the third day to save me from my sins and give me eternal life. By following Jesus, I know I will never be alone, and he can help me to get through anything. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go."
Awesome, you guys. You did a great job. Wow. I just want to address one thing that you said today, Coulter, because I think we need to highlight it. The first time that I met Coulter was at VBS. He was in my VBS class. So if you want to see the powerful impact of Jesus working in VBS, this is why it's so important on my heart that we have this program, that we have volunteers that come because of what Jesus is doing. And shortly after he came to VBS, all of a sudden, Coulter's like, come here, my mom's over here, and I want you to meet my mom. And this is what Jesus' work is doing, is this couple, this family, is getting baptized today. Like, how incredible is that? This is what Jesus is doing through VBS. If God is calling you to serve, then. But let's who's going to go first? You want to go first or mom? It's nice and warm water. Oh, you are a lucky man. So come on over here. Now your mom's thinking. She thinks like I do. I would have gone first too. So please take a step on here. Simon will help you in. Yeah. Put your foot on here. You can hold on to the sides. And once you're in, you put your feet down there. Isn't it warm? It's beautiful. It's okay, he says. All right, Coulter. This is extremely exciting for me to see what God has done. I love your testimony, how you shared. I want to pray for you, and then we're going to baptize you. So, Coulter, just before we do, I just want to remind you of how to do this. You're going to plug your nose, cross your hands. Perfect. But let's pray. Let's pray. Lord God and loving Heavenly Father, I thank you for Coulter, and I thank you for how you have drawn him to yourself for a relationship. Oh God, thank you how you have worked in his life. Thank you too how bold he is to share the good news of Jesus with his friends at school. And I pray that he would continue with that confidence and do it in a way that is honor and glorifying to you. Oh, may the impact of his life influence you for the kingdom of God. Thank you for this young man and how you have just continued to work in his life and how you will continue in the future. Father, we give you praise and thanksgiving. Pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Now I baptize you, Coulter, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we rejoice. Yeah, amen, amen. Now you can get up the same way. You want to stick around and watch Mom get baptized? I think you should. We got you. You can hang on to there for just balance if you're okay. Just perfect. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we give you praise and glory for how you have worked in Naomi's life, how you have drawn her to yourself in relationship. Thank you, too, for her faithfulness in teaching her son and praying with her son. Oh, God, that you would just continue to build into that relationship, that they would continue to be just close and discuss the things of the world and how does it match up with what the Bible teaches? So God, I pray that you would give her strength. I pray that you would give her perseverance. And Father, today we give you praise and glory as we rejoice in what you have done in her life. So Father, we thank you for these things. And we pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You ready to go? Naomi, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Yes, let's celebrate. Come on out. You know what's really cool about this baptism? Is we have a mother and her son, and we have two husbands and wives that are being baptized. I think that is so cool. Danielle and Emmeline, Daniel and Emmeline, why don't you come on up and we share your God story?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Daniel Martins. I accepted Christ into my life at a very young age with the help of my mother. Even though I attended church and Sunday school regularly, I don't think I really understood how God was playing a role in my life until my late teenage years. My wife, Emmeline, helped my faith grow substantially as she encouraged me to spend time in the Word with her daily, even when we were having a long-distance relationship. Being a Christian can be a challenge in a trades work environment such as mine, but I strive to be a light to others and portray a character that reflects Christ in me. Ephesians 5:7-14 says, "Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Recently, I have had coworkers and my classmates ask me about my faith and why I believe in what I do. It made me realize that I was not prepared to answer all of their questions. This sparked something in me and made me realize that I need to spend more time learning about my faith. Because of this, I started to really think about Christianity critically and making my journey more personal to me. Although I consider myself extremely fortunate to have a Christian upbringing, I do not want my faith to be based solely on things I have learned from those around me, but rather I want to find out more for myself and gain a deeper understanding of those teachings. I gained an interest in apologetics, and I quickly found out that it takes as much, if not more, faith to be an atheist as it does to believe in God. This helped me realize why so many people have had questions about my faith. We all want to believe in something. The more I have learned about the Bible, the more I cannot deny God's love, incredible love for me. I hope that next time I am asked, I would be able to explain things better. I want to be baptized today because I am feeling the need to take the next step in my spiritual journey, as we are all called to do. Acts 2:38 says, "Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.' It is not hard to count the ways God has blessed my life. He has given me everything I need, a beautiful wife, an amazing son, and a roof over our heads. I have so much to be thankful for. I look forward to my continued journey with Christ and his greater plan for my life." As Brooks and Dunn said, "I saw the light, I am baptized, by the fire in your touch and the flame in your eye. I'm born to love again. I'm a brand new man."
Good morning. My name is Emmeline Martins. Today I'm here to share how God has worked in my life and my journey as a believer. My entire life, I've been surrounded by a loving family whose purpose was to honor God in everything that we do. I accepted Jesus to be a part of my life at a young age with the help of my parents after overhearing my sister do so. Church attendance was something we rarely missed. I attended Valley Christian Academy, where I served in various ways. I did daily devotions, and I could go on and on about what made me a so-called good Christian. Although my upbringing and lifestyle often reflected a healthy relationship with God, I really only understood his magnitude and the need I had for him in my life in recent years. I was fortunate to find the love of my life in 2016. We got married at the ages of 18 and 19, and life changed. During this, I attended university to become a registered nurse, which is drastically different than attending a Christian-based school surrounded by believers daily. Being so busy with school made me feel quite distant from God, even though I tried to spend time in the Word daily. Little did I know that in the next few years, I'd feel closer to him than ever before. In 2020, Daniel had a farming accident which caused the loss of vision in one of his eyes. I stayed in the hospital until 2 a.m. while he went through emergency surgery. During this time, I was able to listen to worship music in the peace and quiet of the hospital, and I felt a sense of calm despite the situation. In 2021, my last year of university, we became pregnant with our first. I had prayed that we get pregnant in his timing, but when it actually happened, I questioned how this could be the right timing when it was my busiest year yet. I was exhausted and didn't feel like I could make it through. But with much prayer, I'd completed my nursing degree at 30 weeks pregnant. I then was busy working enough to get a mat leave while studying for my NCLEX RN licensing exam and passed 2 weeks before giving birth to my son. In those times, it felt like a continuous stress in my life, and I prayed for relief. My mind and body needed a break, and I got just that during my birthing experience. God blessed me with a sense of peace, relaxation, and minimal pain during the birthing process, just as I had needed. Time and time again, I see how nothing in my life would be possible without God, who is answering my prayers. Sometimes things may not be exactly as I had planned, but it's always worked out in his own timing and his plan. About a month ago, Jesus took our second baby home to be with him. Despite the pain, I felt so much peace about the situation. Sorry. During this time, my next reading was in Lamentations. I wasn't sure how I felt about reading from that book during this time, but I did, and I heard some things I really needed to hear. One example is Lamentations 3, verses 21 to 25, which says, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. No matter what trials I face, the love of God has surrounded me. I always knew I wanted to be baptized at some point, but I wanted to make sure it's the right time to do so in my journey with Christ. This step is important in our marriage and my role as a mother as I raise my son to serve the Lord wholeheartedly. To be a God-fearing wife and mother, I need to listen and act on what I am called to do, and right now this is taking the step of baptism. Doing so, honoring and being obedient to God and showing the body believers that I am a child of God and have committed my life to serving him. Although common, the verse I've recited in my head during times of trouble is Psalms 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thank you for listening to my story, and I hope it provides encouragement for others and displays how God can work wonder in our lives."
Thank you guys for sharing. If you want to just stay here, I'll get you. Pastor Bill, if you want to come up. Pastor Bill has the privilege of praying for his granddaughter, and
I just want to take this. Is it coming through? I just want to take this moment to a pretty exciting moment for me, but just to encourage you with a couple of verses from Scripture, and that's found in Colossians 3, verse 3. And so it says this: "Since then you've been raised with Christ." What it's actually saying is this: since means it is undeniably, irrevocably, irresistibly true that you have been raised with Christ to new life. And so because that is true in your lives and you've testified to that, He's saying, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, the old man is dead, and you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And these are realities that are true about you. And I want to encourage you, because that is true, since you've been raised to new life in Jesus, he's talking about your purpose in life. Set your heart and your mind and just your life to honor God. And then in verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, I was talking about the future, then you will appear with him in glory. What amazing words of truth. These words I want to leave with you, encourage you for your life, and don't let anyone ever discourage you. Your identity in Christ, your new life in Christ, that happened when you got saved, is a reality that no one can ever take from you. And that's exciting. So let me pray for you. Father our God, we thank you so much for Daniel and Emmeline. Thank you, God, that you are the God who pursues us, and you pursued Daniel, and you pursued Emmeline. And God, you brought them to the place that by the work of your Holy Spirit, they came to that place where they realized that they needed to surrender their lives and receive the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that. And Father, we thank you that you are now permanently, you have taken up residence within their spirit, and you are the one who will guide them into all truth. You are the one who will always guide them in ways that will honor and glorify you, and you will fulfill your purpose in their lives. And Father, this morning I pray that you might continue to bless them as husband and wife, that you would continue to bless them as children of God, and that you would continue to work in and through them for the purpose and glory of God. Lord, we pray that by the empowering of your grace, that they would continue to experience joy and love and peace and also be a testimony to the world around them. So, Father, pour out your blessing on their lives, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. Amen. Thank you, Bill.
Go ahead. I guess we've already prayed, so Daniel, upon confession of your faith in Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I appreciate you, Emmeline. I appreciate that you are a nurse, because the other day when we had some issues, some challenges, if you want to put your... Emmeline was able to come and do the work that I had no idea what to do. So, appreciate you, and thank you for sharing about your story, making yourself vulnerable.
Emmeline, upon confession of your faith in Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
What a joy when a husband and wife take that step of obedience and do that together. Very cool. And thank you for your stories. And Jordan and Kara Lee, why don't you come on up and share your stories of what God has done for your life, in your lives.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Kara Lee. I was raised on a small farm by two Christian parents with my three older siblings. I was fortunate to have a strong Christian family that taught me about God and what it means to be a Christian. As a result of the Christian influences in my life, I accepted the Lord at the young age of 4 with the help of my mom. I attended VCA throughout my elementary and high school years, which led me into a deeper relationship with Christ. A verse that assures me of my faith is Ephesians 2 verse 8, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." I have also been confirmed of my faith through Revelation 3 verse 20, which says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." In his goodness, God has been generous in blessing me. Almost 1 year ago, God blessed me with a wonderful husband who has reminded me to keep God first in our life and marriage. Most recently, God has provided me with a full-time job as a nurse in a local emergency department. Although life continues to have challenges and ups and downs, I rest assured that the Lord walks with me every day. I chose to be baptized to publicly share my assurance of faith and to follow the commandment in Acts 2, verse 38, which says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit."
You going to bend down or should we put it up? Good plan. I don't know.
Hello. For those that don't know me, my name is Jordan Barron. I might look big, but I'm actually just a big softy. I was going to tell the guys to only fill the tank half full because I figure when I'm done up here, it'd be full again. I was born and raised in a Christian home. I asked Christ into my life at a young age with the help of my parents. Since then, I have tried to live my life for God's glory. Like most people while growing up, the doubts occurred about my faith, but I was always able to put those aside because of my assurance that I am saved and a child of God. Growing up in school, I had both Christian and non-Christian friends. I played on a lot of sports teams, and as I got older, the opportunities to stray from my faith and do things that weren't right in the eyes of the Lord were plenty. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." I always had a good Christian support with me, though. My twin brother, Josh. We did almost everything together and kept each other's paths directed on God. And God gave us great opportunities in school and sports to be Christian examples to those around us. As I got older, God worked his miracles in my life. One night at the supper table with my family, my sister noticed a lump on the front of my throat. My first instinct and fear were that it was cancer. And at this time, I had also started having trouble breathing properly whenever I did physical activity. Thankfully, it wasn't cancerous, and after multiple trips to the doctor, it was taken care of, and I could thank God for answering my prayers that all would be well. I've also struggled a lot with my mental health throughout life. God went to work, though, and placed the right people in my life to help me so I could function properly. I am extremely blessed to have had such a supportive family supporting and praying for me. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." When I was 21, I was urged by a couple people to pursue a girl. I wasn't sure about it, but I prayed and God gave me that extra nudge and peace to reach out to her. She is now my wife and I have been blessed ever since the day I reached out to her. She is a strong encouragement to me to prioritize God and make him first in my life. And I have two wonderful families who walk with God and have a good Christian influence on me. Well, most of the time. My wife's family seems to think riding Polaris is cool, but it's really not. So I don't know if you can consider that a good example. God has also worked in my life by bringing me into the youth ministry here at our church. He works through me to have fun with the kids and be someone they can talk to and learn more about God from. I didn't go to youth much as a kid, but being a youth leader has benefited me probably as much as the kids, and I feel my relationship with God has been strengthened by it. God has called me to be baptized, and I look forward to taking this next step in my relationship with him. Mark 16:16 says, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned."
Thank you, guys. It's pretty cool that, you know what, one of the things that I had the privilege of marrying Carolee and Jordan, and one of my prayers is always that as you grow in your faith, because that's what we need to build our relationships on, is that we have a good, strong faith, and I appreciate that you guys continue to grow in your faith. And this is huge, huge blessing when I see you guys taking this step together of obedience to God. And so thank you. I'm just so grateful to what God is doing in your lives. Maybe you don't know it, but I pray for you guys because I love and care for you. When I marry you, I invest a lot into you. And so this is exciting for me too. And I'm thankful that you also are a nurse so that I didn't have to worry about things. So the other day, we have an incredible bunch of people that are a church here that we can do just what we need to do and others step in. So thank you. But God is so good. I'm so excited. Almost a year for your since you were married, right? Yeah, that's really cool. Wow, what a privilege. Let's pray. Oh God, Heavenly Father, thank you for Carolee. Thank you for how you have brought her through hardship, how you have brought her through schooling, how you have brought her together with her husband, Jordan. And Father, most of all, we give you praise and glory for how you have worked in her heart and her life, how she desires to walk and live in obedience. So Father, we give you praise and glory. May she honor you with all of her life, even as she serves in the hospital, as she serves as a wife, and as she just serves you faithfully in all she does. Oh Father, we give you all the praise and glory. Pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Carolee, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, Jordan, you I have a bit of a problem with. Yeah, and we have witnesses. We'll talk about it here because since Jordan became a youth leader, Jordan is more cool than his dad. So, yeah, my boy talks about you lots, and so I appreciate that. Thank you for your willingness to serve, and thank you for your, sharing so openly and vulnerably today, too. I love how this guy is a big, gentle giant, and I'm excited, too, for your step of obedience. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for Jordan. Thank you for his family. Thank you for his rich heritage. And God, thank you, too, that he has this incredible relationship with you and desires to walk in obedience. Father, may you be honored and glorified. Thank you that you have reached into his life and that he's willing to serve. Father, I pray that he would bless him as he serves in the role of youth. And God, I pray that you would just continue to give you a desire, him a desire to serve wherever you call him. So, Father, thank you for all these things. And thank you, God, that you have called him to yourself for relationship. And thank you for this step of obedience. Pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. All right, Jordan, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Well, it is really exciting. We have just a multiple different kind of people, age groups, and things going on. So I'm excited because Lyric is going to get baptized today too. Lyric and Steve, why don't you come on up?
I'm going to be reading it for Lyric. Figured he can kind of, he likes the rabbit trail, but then why am I reading? So when we were going through to figure out what we should write, I said, well, we start from the beginning. You were born at a very young age. No. I'll stick to the script. Okay. So, to give you a little more, too, as we were writing this out, I'd write out a sentence, and as I'm about to finish the sentence, I stop. Okay, so should I say that way? And he would be right away, what do you got now? What do you got now? How far you got now? What did you write? So, this is what we wrote. Hi, my name is Lyric. When I was 2 months old, I came to live with the family I have now. Major blessing in our family. My mom couldn't take care of me, so they took me in as their own son. We went to church regularly. On Wednesday nights, we had Patch the Pirate Club, and that was in the church we were at before. And I really enjoyed learning about the Bible through the lessons on Wednesdays and on Sunday school. There were a lot of many memory verses, and I challenged myself to know them each time. It was many drives to church. It's like, I need to know it. He's very much in love with God's word. Mm. In February of 2020, we were on our way back from Edmonton, And when we stopped at a gas station, I asked my mom to pray with me. He just could not wait. He didn't want to wait any longer to get saved. He wants to get baptized because the last baptism we had here, he heard Pastor Gary talk about the importance of baptism, and he realized he wanted to be baptized. So one of the verses that he likes is, he's going to say it, Philippians 1, verse 6.
I am sure of this, he who starts a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus.
Amen. Yeah, you don't want to wear those in there, hey?
We know from Scripture that Jesus loves the little children. So what an evidence that Jesus loves Lyric, and Lyric has known this Jesus that loves him and wants to live for him. Let me pray for you, Lyric. I'll pray for you. Thank you, God, that you created each individual person in the image of God, and you've created Lyric wonderfully and fearfully. Thank you, Lord, that you've drawn him to yourself. Mm-hmm. You revealed yourself to him, and he has come to you in faith in Jesus. We ask that those you have chosen, those you have set apart, you've drawn Lyric to yourself, that you'll keep him until the day of Christ's return. Mm-hmm. So we thank you for that promise. Help Lyric to know that and to learn to love you and to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lyric, on confession of your faith in Jesus, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I was debating whether I should get Steve to do the baptism service. He looks like the preacher, not me. Well, I'd just like to invite Ben up, and Ben is baptized, but he'd like to take up membership today too. So Ben, come on up. Ben, I think you and your lovely wife, Ruth, had probably one of the smallest weddings this church has ever seen, as they were the first. COVID happened. It was the week of COVID. We were stressed. I think we were stressed equally of what was going to happen. And we went from, I forget what the guest list was, down to 150 to 50 to 25 to, I have no idea what happened. But God was good, and you were married, and God is still good. So yeah, share what God is doing in your life.
Morning, church. As you might know, I'm a lot more comfortable behind the drum set. But my name is Ben, and I'm married to Ruth, as was mentioned, for 3 years. I have two younger brothers. They're here today. And we'll start at the beginning. Gary said 2 to 5 minutes, so I'll be in there. When I was born 2 months premature, so you can see the height difference between myself and my brothers. They're a lot taller than me. I spent most of my life growing up in Melfort, Saskatchewan. The last 3 years has been in this area. And for 2 years, I grew up in Niger because my parents were missionaries for a few years, and they taught missionary kids different school subjects. Back in Melfort, when I was 4, I became a Christian through the influence of my mom. The reason was I was scared of death. And so my mom said that if I believe in Jesus, I wouldn't have to be scared of death. So I repented of my sins and was trusting Jesus. I had a very good childhood. My dad, he really liked teaching us through creation magazines. And all of us boys, we really loved music, whether it was drums or piano or guitar. As a kid, I had childhood epilepsy. And so from age 6 to 12, praise God, I grew out of it. once entering middle school, I was able to go to Stony Lake Bible Camp and youth group. They've helped shape who I am today. Growing up, I was definitely a quieter guy. Part of it was my personality, but the other part of it was sexual addiction through porn and masturbation. It started in my young teens. I was able to confess my sin for the first time at youth group with a senior high small group leader. No real change happened after that until I was in Bible college when I met Ruth. There was a lot more motivation to change, and while I was still in Melfort, I was also part of a group called the Conquer Series. Was another sexual addiction group. And currently, I'm part of the group that Matt Andres leads. And a lot of what I praise God for is Christian community. It's always easy to fall into sin when one is isolated. So I'm reminded of my identity in Jesus, who he is and what he has done, and who I am as a result. This means that Jesus is God, and he died on the cross for my sins and rose again to defeat death. I am a good man now because of Jesus. The group I am in currently reminds us that we are good men. It is only by God's grace that we are saved, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. I wouldn't say that I'm out of my addiction, but God has been faithful and showed me measured change in the last 4 or 5 years. I was the seed in the thorns in the parable of the sower. In my devotional book called Morning and Evening by Charles Spurgeon, he has a few verses that resonated with me. One of them is Ezekiel 3 verse 7. All the house of Israel have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. I used to have no shame in my addiction, and today it's easy to notice a lot of pride and self-righteousness in me. In another Devo for Jeremiah 17:17, I am reminded by Charles that God is our refuge in disaster. Christians need trials, winds, and tempests to tear off branches of self-reliance so that we can rely on Jesus. And in Psalm 149, verse 4, it says, "The Lord takes pleasure in his people." There's no shame. There's no ridicule. He loves the people who are his. Psalm 37, 23, it says, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way." So I'm here taking membership, not because I'm a great person, but because God is good, and he's still working on me, changing me. And to close, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, "He has called me out of darkness into his marvelous light." Thank you.